and I would say I'll probably get louder as the time goes on. But this is a great, probably some of the best parts of the Bible for a believer, okay, right here. We're going to see some stuff in here tonight that's going to kind of bring this series to a close and this chapter to a close. But man, it really solidifies for me what I am as a Christian, okay? What it means as, in a deeper way of me being right before God, righteous before God, sanctified before God. And the word we're going to be looking for is reconciled, okay? We'll leave here at the end of this and know what it means to be in reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. That is, if you didn't know, that is our ministry. We are here in one part. There's other parts of the ministry, but as a believer, you have the ambassadorship of reconciliation. Okay. Now I'll try to explain that a little bit better as we go through the rest of this series. But man, it's really sweet to know this stuff. This will help you when you're conversating with somebody and when you're talking about the fullness of your salvation. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. And that he died for all. Are y'all seeing that? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What it's saying right here is after we understand who he is, after we've received the Holy Spirit, after we accept the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he was the only begotten Son of God, after that, and we've received the Holy Spirit of God, we are no longer living unto ourselves. We're living for Christ for that very reason. Amen? There's always things you reap what you sow, pretty much as a, Why are we going to continue in well-doing? Why are we going to continue in our ministry? Why are we going to continue to do the things we're doing? Somebody asks you, why do you go to church? Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you do the things that God's put on your heart? Why do you preach, sing, witness for the kingdom of God, witness of your salvation? Why do you do those things? Because people are going to ask you, why do you think you have to do those things? We're doing those things because one big reason is Jesus died for us. And we understanding if Jesus died for us, God died for us, then it that's who we're living for now. And God put it so good in Romans, we become a living sacrifice where he became a dying sacrifice. That's very fair, right? Once we start thinking about that, God became he died for us that we might live for him. But you know what it is, when we realize the sacrifice, when we throw that sacrifice part on there, it's all, right? You can't sacrifice part, right? So he died for you all the way. You got to live for him all the way, okay? That's when we can't look at it and go, well, I can give him certain parts of my life. No, he wants all of it. But you might want to write this note down there and put it in there. If you give him all of your life, he makes all of your life better. He makes all your life abundant. He makes all of your life complete, okay? Even in the tough times, and we're all going to go through tough times. We're all going to go through hardships, health crises, world crisis, different things like that. But if we're surrendered to God, we'll see God through that. I can't help but just in this last, 4, 5, 6 months, the waves of things that are happening in our lives. But man, in those waves, just like on the Sea of Galilee, There's Jesus, right? In those waves, in those storms, in those trials, in those tribulations, I see Christ in it. And I can sit there and go, man, the end's coming, the end's near, But at the same time, if we rock on for another 100 years, I'm still satisfied in Christ Jesus and him being in my life. I'm still satisfied that he's in control. And I mean, I started to really, being honest with you, I started kind of tuning out the world more and tuning God in more. I just started saying, well, I mean, the news is going to be what it is, so why don't I just tune in God and listen for him? And I found that I've got a lot more peace and a lot more joy and a lot more, I don't have to sit there and go, I don't have to regurgitate all the negative that's coming up. All I can say is, man, God's ultimately in control. I definitely know what he wants me to do. He wants me to live for him. He died for me and he wants me to live for him. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. In a tough situation, you just look around and you say, hey, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Live for me. Okay, what does that mean? Be honest, right? Be honorable. Amen. Do your best for people and do your best for God and witness for him and witness through your actions, not just your words, right? Let's go a little bit further. This is going to get good as we go on. 16, wherefore henceforth know we no more, no man after the flesh. Let me read. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And this is kind of tough for us. What are you talking about? We knew Jesus as in the flesh. We knew Jesus as he walked with them. That's what he's saying. We've seen him. We felt him. We've seen him crucified. It's still very fresh for them. It's still, he was a real man, walked on the face of earth. He is that way for us. We never seen him. It wasn't like we could go find somebody who was there, right? At this point in time, they could still go find people and say, we walked with him for 3.5 years. We heard every word that he preached. We've seen everybody that was healed. We've seen him resurrected. We've seen him. Okay, that's a big difference than where we're at today. But you know what he says after that moment? We don't know Jesus anymore. What Paul was saying, I don't know Jesus in the physical, but I do sure know him in the spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? I ran into him. That's a whole other message in a whole other place. But Paul said, I ran into him one day. And if you've ran into him, and what I mean by running into him, if you've had an encounter with Christ where he's changed your life, you know him by the Spirit. You don't have to know him by the physical flesh, right? But then he's saying, this is a lovely thing in here for us. He says this, we don't know any man anymore by the flesh. Wait a minute, that's different, ain't it? Well, I know people in the flesh. I remember, I have memories with certain people and I have thoughts with some people. But then I started kind of putting this together. As I've been saved and as I've been born again, there are two men on the inside of me, right? And as I've grown in Christ, that man is more predominant than the old man. And if you ran into somebody who knew you from the old days, right? If you ran into somebody you'd known prior to your salvation, prior to what God's done in your life, they would kind of look at you. But then after they've talked to you for a while and walked with you for a while and had experience with you, they would come to the, wait a minute, there's just something different about you, right? But as a believer, as two believers, when you come together, our flaws and our weaknesses in our flesh tend to drop off, and we can see the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the spirit of a man. My spirit bears witness with your spirit. Amen? And when we read the Bible, iron sharpeneth iron. That iron is the spiritual iron. It is not my flesh makes your flesh better. That doesn't work. Amen? It's my spiritual man will make your spiritual man better. Man, ain't that? That's nice right there. Because I'm sitting there going, man, we can get in. This is an old term in the church. I got in the flesh and I did X, Y, and Z, right? I got in the flesh and I said this. Or I got in the flesh. That used to be said in every Baptist church from here to wherever, I got in the flesh. But if you know the person by the spiritual fruits of who they are, you can look past the flesh. Amen? You can look past the flesh. That's a great thing. That's a great thing in the Scripture. We're not looking at each other through fleshly terms. We shouldn't be. We should be looking through each other through the spiritual thing and looking for those gifts and those talents and those abilities in Christ Jesus. Because those are the things that fit neatly together. Those are the things that make the body of Christ. Those are the things that we work for. Our flesh, we can get in our flesh and we can ruin those things. Amen, can we not? We can ruin those really quickly. Verse 17, man, I love this verse. I have been preaching this verse for the last probably 12, 15 years in recovery is a standalone verse. But when I got into this series, I found like this is not a standalone verse. It's kind of made me not abandon how I preach it, but give it a little bit more broadness to it. And I'll kind of teach that tonight. We're still talking about the Spirit of God inside of a believer, not just a man who wants to do better in Christ. We're saved. And we got part of the Godhead in us. So 5:17 makes a big difference. Let's go look at it. As in context with the whole chapter. Therefore, if any man, nothing changes there as far as that go. Therefore, if, that I always do this, and you might get tired of me saying this over the years, but I'll probably say it every time I preach right here. Underline that word if, okay? Every time you get right there, if it's in your Bible. Therefore, if any man, okay? Just get that, underline that word if right there, because when you do that in this scripture, it makes you examine who you are in Christ Jesus or not, okay? It makes you, that word if means you need to, you need to question. You need to look at. You need to examine, okay? Because if you're in it, here it is, okay? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, okay? That's what you're looking for right off the bat. Is there a new creature? And I'm going to kind of explain that, just like I've always explained this scripture. There's a new creature. There's a new, still, small voice inside of who you are. Your conscience, your mind, what we call heart, right? What we call Jesus came into my heart, okay? Well, that's your conscience. That's your mind, okay? That's, you know, the helmet of salvation covers that. What you're doing, that's the person you talk to most of the time, the person you consult with most of the time is that person on the inside, okay? That's the person we're talking about. That's you're talking about. We're talking about your soul right here. We're talking about being saved. That's in your mind, okay? You're a new creature. When you got saved, if you did get saved, there's a new creature in there, and he's been different ever since he came along, amen? I've made professions early in my life. Then I got saved when I was 30. Okay, I got saved. Guess what? That still small voice was so radical, he might as well have been screaming through a bullhorn. I've said that so many times from this pulpit. He might as well have been screaming with a bullhorn or a microphone when he said some of the stuff that he says. Because, okay, I'll just go to a new one. Say something mean to this person because they said something mean to you. Now, listen, I mean, I don't know how you are, but I can relate to this. If you hit me back in the day, I wanted to hit you harder than you hit me, that I will deter you from hitting me. It was just a defense mechanism. I like offense better than defense a lot of times, okay? So guess what? I would go on the offense thinking, now they'll never come back because I've hit them hard, right? Well, some of the first times I've ever done that, they would say something aggravating or mean to me, and in my natural defensive self, something in there is going, don't say anything at all, don't say anything at all, don't say anything at all. You need to pray for them. They just don't know no better. You're making, listen, I hope I'm helping you here. You're making excuses for them why you shouldn't be your old self. It was so foreign to me. I've gave you all tons of examples, but that was one. Man, I didn't know it at the time, but God had given me the gift to speak. And I used to use that the wrong way. Amen? If you've got real quick wit, if you've got real quick with your words, that can be detrimental to you as much as helpful to you, especially in your marriage. All right? So you got to watch how you use that. But, man, when I used to go to work or when I used to be around friends of mine, if they said something, well, man, I could cut them to pieces. But, man, I remember when God would come in there and say, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't respond that way. They don't know any better. Give them time. Give them mercy. That's a whole nother realm that gives somebody mercy and grace. Man, there's a new creature because no mercy's given here. You know, we've got to destroy this person because they tried to destroy me in some way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you know that I am, but I'm just talking about that new creature. There's a new man or a new woman. Now listen, I wished I'm not one, but I wished I was a woman. I could jump in there and just jump over to some issue or something in there where you guys struggle or hurt or something like that. You know, guys, we are very visual and we are very, we like audible, we like praise. So, you know, if those things are attacked or we see it, we kind of jump. I don't know how women work right there, so you've got to do the work tonight as I'm talking. Where were you as an old person? And then Christ came along, you know what I'm saying? And Christ came along and that new creature in there made you start thinking and acting differently. You understand what I'm saying? I hope y'all can get that because I can't pinpoint those. I wished I could. I'd probably write two or three books and make them. y'all get that later. All right. But what I'm saying is you've got to understand, you've got to put yourself under the examination table right there as all believers do to find out, wait a minute, have I ever changed? Amen? Has God come in and turned things over? And man, and he might still be. Let's go a little bit further in this verse where I can finish it. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's terminology as dying, like in a grave. Behold, all things are become new. I don't wear this out, but I kind of started looking at that just a little bit different because I used to preach. All things have become new. I started thinking, man, I don't know if all things have become new. I know I'm sitting here kind of thinking about it because I've been preaching for 15 years. All the new things are being new. Are you staying with me right here? Paul said it best in Romans chapter 7. He said, the old man that I am and the man that I am now, they war against each other. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. The things that I don't want to do, I do. That don't fall under all things that become new. There's still an old man in there. Amen. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Have you found yourself in there? As you grow as a Christian, those things seem to fall off a little bit more here and there over the years. But at the same time, there are still, if I'm being honest, and that's all I'm doing, I'm not trying to hatch up the words. I'm not trying to cut up the words. I'm just being transparent and honest with you to say this. I'm 48 now, and I've grown a lot as a Christian, but all things haven't become new. But all the new things that have become new have come from God. Yeah, are you good? There's some new growth in there. There's some new life in there, and there's new things happening in there, and all those came from God, and they came from the Spirit of God. My old man's still in there. I love explaining this to people. My old man's still in there. We just try not to feed him. Amen? And we can be real flat out honest. We try not to throw him situations. We don't try to give him the voice. We don't try to give him the reasoning. I know y'all get tired of me doing this, but I can't help myself. It's like being in that old smoky pool hall, you know? That's how I picture my old man. He's sitting over in the corner, in the shade in the corner. You can't even hardly see him. He's worn down to a frazzle, you know? And he's just sitting over there smoking an old cigarette, got a hat pulled down over his face. He's leaned back in the chair. Y'all just bear with me. I'm just going through it. And something happens in my life. And I don't know what to do as a believer. I won't pray about it. I won't approach God about it. I won't look in the Word about it. I'm kind of let it get the best of me. And I can just hear him. Might as well give me a shot at it. Right? Are y'all staying with me right now? Let me have it. You know, you've handled this. You've got Jesus and all that. But let me try. What could go wrong? He snaps back to full strength in a heartbeat, right? I mean, he's up, he's standing up, he's looking as fit as he ever has, like, all right, we're back in business, let's do this thing. You got to realize real quick, that ain't the person you want handling anything, because he will grow 10 times faster than you want to grow. He will be involved in everything. He'll ruin who you are as a believer in no time, right? So you just got to be honest with yourself, say, please go sit down and shut up. Me and God will handle this, and it's going to be mostly God, and I'm just going to ask for advice. Okay? Y'all got that? Man, I don't know if y'all like visual stuff, but that's how my mind works sometimes. But I want to see it. I just want y'all to see that when I read this scripture, it says, behold, all things are become new. All the new things that are from God. Let's look at this thing right here, behold. I always ask people to look at that word right there, behold, too. All right? Behold. Okay? Behold means look at. Okay, look at. That's a big, big difference than listen to. Okay, behold, when I used to be the world's worst at making great speeches of how my life was going to change and I was going to do greater and better things before I got saved. Amen? Don't worry, I'm going to do better. Okay, but when I got saved, I stopped saying, look at my, or listen to my life. I would say, you're just going to have to look and see. When you know God has taken over a man or a woman's life, when you say, look into who I am. Look into it. Don't take my word for it. Observe my life. Observe the fruit that is my life. Stop making big pronunciations, telling people the story, because, you know, you can be very persuasive and you can say a lot of good things, but once you've considered, when Christ has come in, I remember that's probably the first thing I told Melissa. She goes, "What's different?" I said, "You're just going to have to watch and see. You're just going to have to watch. So I can't explain what's happened, but just watch and see." Okay? That's big, big difference in me, because I was like, let me tell you, don't look, okay? So remember that when you're looking at that. Behold, Christ doesn't mind to be looked at. He doesn't mind to be examined. He doesn't mind to be checked on, checked behind, verified over. And as believers, we shouldn't be either. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't have any problems. People, oh, I'm going to look into that. Go look into that. You know, take the time, look at it. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled. This is the meat part of this message. Y'all stay, please stay connected right here, because this is a very important part of the message. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If somebody ever asks you and you do not know, what is your ministry? You can start telling them right now, my ministry is of reconciliation, right? I have a ministry of reconciliation. You might want to write this down. God did not need to be reconciled to us. He had no need to be reconciled. He didn't have to come back to us for anything and to make things right. It was all on us, but we could not. Okay? We could not. So he made a way for us to be reconciled. Let's just pump the brakes right there. It's just us in this room. Nobody can hear us. It's just a few people in here. But have you ever been in a situation where you've been at odds with somebody else and it was their fault? Listen, have you ever been in a situation where something went wrong in the relationship in a bad way and it was their fault? Whose position is it to reconcile? You know, it's the person who did it wrong. It's their position to come and say, I am sorry I stole the money. I am sorry I lied. I'm sorry I embezzled. I'm sorry I ran through the living room. I'm sorry I took the last cookie. I'm sorry, whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's their position. But this is an amazing thing that God is reconciling with us with the most precious thing that's ever been, that ever has been, which is Jesus Christ dying on a cross for our sins. And he reconciles with us who are in the wrong. And he does it even before we come to the meeting place. Nobody in this room came to the meeting place at Calvary. We came thousands of years after. And he had the same ministry for you. While you were yet enemies of Christ, he died for you. He loved you while you were way outside of his... Man, ain't that amazing? he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are the poster children of reconciliation. We're supposed to be telling people, I was reconciled to holy God by his son Jesus Christ when I didn't deserve it. I am right. Some of y'all need to write this down. I am right with God. Amen. Have you ever heard about, I made it right with a man upstairs. I've got things worked. You get things right with God when he comes and deals with your heart by way of the Holy Spirit and shows you that you need reconciliation and shows you that he died for your sins. And then you say, please forgive me of my sins. And you know what he does? He gives you that spirit of reconciliation. Man, ain't that amazing? And it gets better. I hope y'all just let this seep in, because many, many years, I want to do something with God. I want to do something for God. I want to do great. Just tell, hey, let people know you've been reconciled to him. Amen? That's your ministry. What's this right here? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Take this word right here. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. This, underline this word, these two words right here. Not imputing, okay? Not imputing. We're going to use another terminology, another word right here. Let's talk about a ledger, okay? When God reconciled our sins, there's a record, okay? There is a record of matter of our sins up to this point, right? And let's just call it a ledger, all right? So there's a ledger. There's a what we've done wrong, right? And they're all recorded, okay? When God reconciled us through Jesus Christ, He stopped keeping the record. He stopped using the ledger. And not only that, He erased or done away with the prior records. God, why? There's a great, wonderful old hymn. It says, an old account was settled long ago, right? When you came to Christ Jesus, the slate was wiped clean, but the book was closed. If that don't, man, I'm telling you right now, I don't know. We didn't need a whole bunch of people here for this sermon. I'm just telling you, some of us would catch this and go, my God, thank you for closing the book. Amen. Thank you for closing the ledger. I don't know about your ledger, but my ledger. Thank you, God. And some things that could go in, right? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let's just do this again. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. I can't get, I'm sorry. I'd like to get on down the road with this, but I'm just going to tell you, if you ever find yourself born again, hallelujah, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, understanding that your sins are no longer held against you, this right here, you won't get over it easy. Because if you're unlike me, great. But if you're anything like me, close to me, or even in the ballpark, that I need to know that today. Today. I needed to know that the record was expunged today. Yesterday and the day before that. And guess what? Tomorrow. God's not going to open the book up tomorrow and say, we're going to start the record fresh. It would be full. And some of y'all go, full, brother, what have you been doing? Okay, it would have one in it. Guess what one's worth? Everything. If I'm guilty of one, I'm guilty of all. If I broke any of the law, I broke all the law. But guess what? God said, I'm not imputing. I'm not finding you guilty. I'm not putting it in the ledger. The ledger is, I don't even have a ledger. I don't even have a record for you anymore. Only record I have of you, you're my child. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the only record I have of you. Whew. That's good. Man, I'm glad of that. Very glad. Verse 20. Now we got that word of reconciliation. You might want to just keep and hold on to that word like a pit bull holds on to a pork chop right there. All right? Because when people are going to do this to you, and if you don't believe me, just stick around in this faith long enough. Some people are going, you think you're perfect, or you think you can do whatever you want to do and you're going to get in heaven. No. I don't think that. But I have been given the word of reconciliation. I don't think that. I think this. It cost Jesus everything to save me, and I believe it took everything to save me, and I trust fully in Him being able to save me, and it's Him saving me, and that's what I'm trusting in, and He gave me the word of reconciliation. I'm reconciled with God. I am reconciled. I don't think I can do anything, but I do know this. I am reconciled. I don't think I can do anything. I don't think I can get into heaven on my own. I don't think I am perfect, but I do know that I am reconciled in Christ Jesus because I put my trust and faith in what He did at Calvary. Amen? And I'm going to show you how you sealed this deal, but watch verse 20. This is an amazing thing. Y'all see this. Y'all have read this a bunch of times, but let it stick a little bit stickier on the side of the sticky side of your mind right here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. To be an ambassador for anything, you have to be a part of it. You can't be an ambassador for another nation unless you belong to that nation. I can't represent something as an ambassador of that nation or that company or that thing unless I am in it. How are you going to be an ambassador to Christ unless you are in Him? And if you are in Him, you can't be an ambassador today and not one tomorrow. We are in Christ Jesus and He is in us. I love what the scriptures say in John. He said, I am the branch. I am the vine, you are the branch. I am the vine, you are the branch. What does that mean? That's seamless. Go find you some vines and branches. Go into a grape vineyard. Go into a tree. Go anywhere you want to. Look and try to find where the vine and the branch are separate. Then try to go and find out where the fruit process starts. Then go try to find out where the sap is. Then go try to find out how the fruit got to the end of the limb. Then try to go down to the roots. And you're going to be sitting there going, it looks like, I know it's an old saying from here, it looks like an inside job. It looks like it's all connected together. That tree is representing that it's an orange tree, an apple tree, a pear tree, or a banana tree. Because guess what? On the inside, it's a banana tree. I'm representing I'm in Christ Jesus because Christ Jesus is in me. Ain't that something? Man, I don't. Somebody says, well, you just think, man, you just good. I live in total belief that Jesus Christ indwells in me in the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to sit here and worry about whether I'm going to be excommunicated or kicked out or left behind or without Jesus Christ. Some of y'all are sitting there going, well, can you just get away with anything? No, I got a Heavenly Father who will correct me. He will correct me swiftly, pointedly, today. God ain't going to say, well, you wait till we get home. No, He'll pull the car over. Amen? He will pull it over. Amen? He's done it many a times. And you know what? Let's just stay right here for a moment. And you know what? I always say this. You go, well, God, well, yeah, I hear people talking, God want me. God beat me down. God. No. Man, just really fall in love with Jesus. Just let him become who He is in your life and let Him not talk to you for about 24 hours. I've got another love in my life. Amen? If you don't hear from me for about 24 hours, man, hit me with a frying pan. Shoot me or something. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather take a beating than go through the silent part. Right? I don't know if you... With God, it's a million times worse. Because guess what? I love Him. And I want to hear from Him. And all He has to do is say, and I start searching. Where was it? Where was it, Lord? What did I do? And if it's bad enough, God doesn't mind to correct me in such a way that I know it's Him and it hurts. And you know what I do from then on? I ain't going over there again. I ain't doing that again. I ain't touching that again. I ain't listening to that again. You know what I'm saying? That's God. Now then, we are ambassadors, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Our lives should be a big neon sign telling people to reconcile themselves, get reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You say, well, man, how's that mean? Man, reconciliation is... I asked y'all earlier in the message this. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody wronged you? No. Have you ever been in one of those situations and it got cleared? Maybe you were the person that done it wrong. And you went by. Have you ever went back to somebody you had wronged or done whatever and they said, I forgive you? Whew. Man, you got the weight lifted off of you. You've got, man, me and old so-and-so, we're in good standing. Man, I ain't got to worry about him, you know, doing this or doing that or saying this or saying that. I got to come my name back, some recognition back. Man, with Jesus, it's amplified a million times. With God, hey, I am reconciled with God. I have got peace that passes all understanding. I don't have to sit here and rack my brain about what happens if I don't make it through the next day. And when people are going to notice that. And this, in 2021... If you've got peace in this, if you've got joy in this, if you've got real true happiness in this, well, man, did you not hear about the gas thing? Did you not hear about the sick thing? Have you not heard about the political thing? Have you not? Yes, and yes, I've heard all of it. Man, but God is good. Man, He loves us. Man, God's going to see us through this. Well, don't you know there's some people that passed away in this? Don't you know some people died? Don't you know some people? Yeah, man, they got their ticket punched on into glory. They got promoted. No matter what label they put on your death certificate, if you're a believer, that was the thing that pushed you into glory. It's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Not the dying, but the moment you say, it's over, God stands on the other side. Come on in. Been waiting for you. Oh, I preach that. Let's finish. This ministry of reconciliation. How did we get it? Hey, how did that ledger get closed? How did all the information in the ledger get wiped away? I'm glad you asked. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's Jesus, who knew no sin. He never sinned. He never fell short of the glory of God. He never committed any sin, no unrighteousness with him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how we got the ministry of reconciliation. That's how the ledger was closed. That's how we will one fine, beautiful day be able to stand in front of him and him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Because he will not be talking to you. He will be talking to what's covering you. That's the righteousness of his son Jesus. It's the same cloak. It's the same cover. It's the same robe as when he told them to go get the finest robe for the prodigal son. The prodigal son underneath the righteous robe of Christ was a hog mess, covered mess of a man with nothing redeemable. But the moment they put the righteous robe on him, he was as he was as a righteous son. One day you will stand before God, and because the blood of Jesus Christ covers you, he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Because you believed in what Jesus done, I nullify everything that was against you. Amen. The ledger was closed. It was going, and you are right. You are just as righteous as Jesus himself. Because only righteous people enter into heaven. This is what we should be talking about in 2021. This is what we should be clamoring about. This is what we should be sharing. The ministry of reconciliation. There is still time for a lost and dying world to be reconciled to a holy God. In the darkest days, in the years that we're growing closer to the end, as we say it and as we know it, we should tell somebody, you know what? There's still hope for you. There's still hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. Amen? If we shine the light, I'm still, and here's where I'm going to close. I've got tons of friends in the ministry, or what I call friends, and it seems to me, and I might not be totally right, but it seems like this to me. It seems like a lot of people are trying to get back in the church, back in the church, back in the church, which is okay. Trying to get back to revival meeting, get back to this. I hope that we don't rush so fast to get back in the church that we don't examine why God pushed us out of it in the first place. Because if you'll think the first time God took the church and pushed it out, which is in the book of Acts, he pushed it out of Jerusalem. Not only did he save more people than he'd ever saved at that point, 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day, and it spread like wildfire, and we are the Christian church we are today because of that. He also saved the thing that pushed him out the door. That'd be Saul of Tarsus. Amen? Something pushed us out the door into a world that we are really kind of foreign to. I'm just being honest. We've been desensitized to the world. The church is the church and the world is the world. I hope we don't come running back in here and find reconciliation in here or a place of hiding and forget what we've seen out there. Because it's kind of opened me up to like, let's have both. Let's have church, but let's go after the world. Because I don't want to be a church who only sits in here and closes the world off and talks about how good it is to be saved. And we're not giving it out to anybody else out here. So let's be careful that we're not wondering why we ain't doing this, why we ain't doing that, why ain't this getting better. Why don't we say, God, while we're out here, while we're kind of exposed, is there somebody you want us to minister to? Is there something you want us to reach? Is there another part of the ministry you want us to do? that we just didn't see. Because it's given me an opportunity to look around, and I see a hurting community. I see two hurting communities down in the valley. I see a lot of people that are confused and worried and hurting. And I see a church with all the answers. We just got to take it to them. Let's all stand. We have the Spirit. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That's a good word for tonight. Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight. We're thankful for the Word. Thankful that how much truth's been in this series. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a really, really power-packed chapter. And we loved the time we got to spend in it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the church as we're going out into revival for a week. Lord, I pray that you just use us for your honor and glory. And I pray this church will be used. I pray for Brother Ed. I pray that you just anoint him afresh and use him with a powerful word in both services and just use him, Lord God, and bless the people too. We pray for the Hughes family. We pray for their remorse and their grieving. Lord God, we just pray that you'd strengthen them during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.